this is something that we have been engaging our colleagues in the foreign minister from some time now, that there's, as part of the, you know, the normal East African call for people's movement and freedom of movements within the bloc, that visas have to be waived so that it gives rooms for our people to be moving. And thank God this is now coming the reality. We, as I said, we received it this morning, and we just forwarded it to the headquarters. Of course, you know, when we talk of freedom of movement and visa waiving, is always, it comes as a result of course, diplomatic engagement, but also it has to be reciprocity. You know, it, if we don't expect this thing to hold, unless also our government apply the same on Kenyan citizens who will be coming to South Sudan, you would also expect to be to waive visas for them. Otherwise, it will fall back.
Ambassador Ajongo, this is a bittersweet news. Bitter in a sense that Kenyans traveling to South Sudan will no longer come to the South Sudan embassy in Nairobi to pay for visa fees. And it's an open secret that some embassies, some South Sudanese embassies, depend on money collected from visas for their mainstay.
Look at the bigger picture of what we get out of this. Yes, there are collection of costs in embassies, that it generates money, but also with the people moving from across the board, across borders, South Sudanese and Kenyans. And by the way, one of the dimension also we are trying to consider is that probably by doing this, then we need also to waive, to make sure that at least our people have work permits in both countries. You know, if you know that very well, most of the things that we are now seeing, actually Kenyans are the one more or less working in South Sudan, where you don't find actually South Sudanese working here. So this is something that we've been pushing forward. So yes, there are collections being made. But when you look at the bigger pictures of South Sudan's movement, you know, the bigger goal would be much better than the little collections we are getting to sustain embassies. It's just a fraction from what we'll be getting in terms of easiness of movement from our people, families that will be coming to this country, but they don't have, you know, much to pay for the visas. So at least, instead of trying to look at it from that small angle of collections with embassies, I think the common good for quite a number of South Sudanese getting access to Kenya when they are sick, when they are coming to see their families, when they are coming to see their children, with, given the constraint financially, I think we are much better having it, you know, the way it is than actually looking at the collection aspect of the little money we collect and generate and sustain us, because as an embassy, but we are sustaining a bigger number of people, which is much, much greater than the collections when you look at it from economic perspective.
Talking about the bigger picture and the good of the public, you and I are aware that there are people in South Sudan who think there are no jobs because foreigners have taken them up. What is the guarantee that this new development will not trigger a xenophobic reaction towards Kenyans who might want to take this opportunity and go to South Sudan and look for a job?
You know, that could be a bigger debate. But as we speak now, I will have to confine myself in the fact that Kenyans are waived and also South Sudanese are expected to do the same as principles of reciprocity. But, you know, looking at the bigger picture, as again, when it comes to work, I think immigration is something that is happening across the globe. But it depends on the country now, how you frame your laws, even type of job that will be taken by foreigners. I don't think it's going to be an open thing that where a Kenyan would walk to South Sudan and tomorrow you see them as medical doctors or lawyers doing law practicing in the market. But I think the market is just a labor in the normal market. But if our people are to compete, really nobody would be having a problem to compete with Kenyans. But if you streamline the type of jobs that are to be taken by the foreigners, which is common practice in most of the countries in the world, including the West, then you are fine. But if you just sit and you think, okay, cleaning job, for example, you don't want to do it yourself, and then when a Kenyan picks it up, it becomes a problem, then we have a problem there. I think this is just what I could say regarding the talk about the, and also being part of the community. These are some of the obligations that comes with it. You know, we have things South Sudan ascended to the East African community. East African community also has all its rules. Even this waiving visas, it's quoting certain provisions in the constitutive act of the East African community. So these are some of the things that comes with it. You know, joining or being part of the community, small or big, has its obligations and also it has rights. So you look at both pictures, and then you decide as a country, as a sovereign, you join. It comes at a cost. There are things that you pay. There are things that, of course, you subtract, things that you gain. So I think the discussion will be along what kind of jobs that will be made available. Of course, even when South Sudanese come to Kenya, they won't be taking all the jobs. Of course, certain jobs will be protected by certain regulations and certain legal requirements. But if you talk of the open market, cleaning job, construction job, and those things, I think people have to compete. That's what it means to be part of a bigger community.
As the South Sudanese envoy to Kenya, what can you tell your countrymen who want to take the advantage of the visa waiver and migrate to Kenya because of the difficult conditions in South Sudan? I mean, I lived in Kenya for many years, and life in Nairobi can be very challenging.
No, yes. I mean, you know, again, it comes back to simple, Brother John. Home is home, okay? The good thing, Kenyans, South Sudanese are exposed to Kenya, and a number of people who have been in Kenya, they are back in South Sudan, they fully understand the type of life here. You can't make it unless you are doing a really decent job here. And of course, even market is very competitive. You know, Kenya with the highest number of educated class, you know, on the street. So it wouldn't be like a fun to come move to Kenya and you expect to live normally. So either you have what it takes to be here. From our engagement, we suggest at some point that we would come up with something like, say, South Sudan Kenya Business Council or Business Forum, where some South Sudanese who have little money can identify certain investment opportunities in Kenya so that they invest. I'm also in mind, you know, because we had a huge number of our mothers here, girls and mothers who are taking care of the children. Some of them have skill, but because of the nature of the, you know, they're here with the kids, they can't do anything. But with this kind of thing, if they are to open up permits, work permits, they can come up with a few businesses. Coffee, whatever it is, you know, you can have a small shop next to a kushuk next to the house where you live, or in the market where you can sell dry okra or full madguk, something along those lines, so that at least you keep them engaged. And of course, there are South Sudanese who will be buying from you. Or as we speak now, that one is not possible. So if we do that, at least we will also create certain jobs for those who are here, our mothers who are here, taking care of their children, to be doing something that actually can generate little fund for them to sustain them.